We had a good time. I know some of you had business to take care of. I understand that. If your mule falls into the ditch, you got to get it out, right? That's not to make an excuse, right, sometimes for not going to church. But, yeah. Well, I had to go fishing. You know, me and the man upstairs are closer out on the boat. Well, well, you know, God's not opposed to fishing. But I remember one guy telling me that. And the very next week he came in and he had this look of terror on his face. And I said, what happened? He says, man, you're not going to believe this, but my boat caught on fire. He says, from now on, I'm going to be in church. Well, not that we prayed that way, but you know. But you see, we come to church not because I have to, but because it's the loving thing to do. And everything that we do out of love. Are you with me, right? And out of consideration, considering one another, actually. Isn't it important that we are in fellowship together?
Yes.
God is with us. He's in us and He's for us. And God is directing things here. And so I pray, Lord, give me ears to hear You. I don't want to give You me. I want to give You Jesus, you know. And the same thing is true for you. What you really have is to offer is what Christ gives you. Amen. He gives you the fresh bread to feed others. And so if you want to be a vessel, just say, Lord, here am I. Make me into a vessel. You know, I present myself to You. He's not looking for, as one said, golden vessels, but He's looking for yielded vessels, right? He's looking for available yet vessels. He's looking for somebody to say, here I am, Lord. I'll be one of Your workers. Isn't it Jesus who said, pray the Lord of the harvest that He'd send forth laborers or workers, right? So when we pray that, we got to be praying for ourselves, right? But Lord, send him over there. Send her over there. No, He's saying, if you pray in that way, you should be, amen, already walking in that. And as you're walking in that, pray that God will raise up others. How many know that God chooses human beings for His work here?
Yes.
All throughout Scripture, He uses people. And He wants to use you and I, both. Not just the preacher, but everybody being a minister in some capacity that the Lord has called you to. Amen? Whether it's on the job, in your family, in your home, at Walmart, wherever you find yourself, you are a vessel of Christ. So let your light so shine before men. That's a lot of what Tom was talking about. He was talking about the fact that we need to be about our Father's business. Isn't that right? That we need to rise up, we need to bond together. Amen? And we need to do the work of the Lord, do the work of the ministry. There are people who are dying, literally, not just physically, but spiritually, that need to hear the gospel. And they're out there, folks. We have to go fishing, and we have to keep fishing and keep throwing the net out. Don't get weary, don't give up. Keep throwing the net out. Keep throwing the net out. Keep inviting people. You're going to hear this from me a lot because, folks, we've got to be mindful that when we come here, if at all possible, I should be bringing somebody with me. Are you with me? I should be seeing who, or at least inviting people to come if they can drive themselves. If not, let's do what we can to get people here. Why? Because this is a good place. It's a safe house. This is a safe house. This is a place where people will come and they're not going to get clobbered and they're not going to get judged. They're going to get the truth, but it's going to be done in love. And the truth is what sets people free. Amen. And we're not here to judge. We're here to be an example to one another.
That's right.
That's what Jesus did. He exampled. Not only did He speak it, but He did it. He walked it out. So we want this to be a safe place for people to come in. To know it doesn't matter what persuasion or what type of life they've lived or what mess they're in right now. This is a safe place for them. We said, Lord, bring them in. Bring them in. We'll take them. You want to know why? Because that's Jesus' heart. That's God's heart. God says, I want them. Amen? I love them. Do we love people? So often we just love people that love us. But you know what? We need the love of God that says, I love everybody. Doesn't mean I get along with everybody. Or necessarily like everybody, but I love everybody. You know the difference? You can love somebody but not necessarily like them. That's all right. Write that down and meditate over it for a while. And there's people that I've had to just basically turn my back on and say, well, this relationship has to end, but I'm going to still love you and I'm going to pray for you. But it's not healthy between us. You got to be careful who you hang out with. I'll say it again. You got to be careful who you hang out with. Well, we're talking about pulling down strongholds. So if you would open in your Bibles, the 2 Corinthians, we're going to again come to the text that we've been on, chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I ask you to take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us today. Lord, sow the truth into our hearts, grant us understanding, seal it there, Lord, and bring transformation to our thinking in our hearts, in Jesus' name. For though, verse 3, we walk in the flesh, it doesn't mean that we live a sinful life, it means that we're in this body of flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. Yes, we all can agree that we are in a battle. And the battle really begins when you say yes to Jesus. Why? Because now you've turned your back on the one that you used to serve, Satan. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, of human origin, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now remember that word stronghold means a fortified castle, a place of safety. And another explanation of that is a stronghold being a place of safety for the devil due to unbelief and rebellion. A stronghold is a place of safety for the devil due to unbelief and rebellion. It's in the areas that we disagree with God, with His counsel, that we allow a safe harbor for our enemy to operate in our lives. That's why repentance means changing your mind about the way that you live and the way that you think. And so we don't want to give any place to the devil. Amen. No place. And so the battlefield is in your mind. And though you may be delivered, I want you to hear this, from an addiction or a habit, if our wrong attitudes don't change, we can welcome that addiction back, that spirit that's attached to it. People get set free and then they go back out and indulge again in the same thing that they were set free from. And then next thing you know, they come back and they're all messed up, and sometimes they're even worse off than they were before, because they have allowed the enemy to come, because they disagreed with God's counsel and they chose their own stubborn will over the will of God. Are you with me? Now, we've all done this. So I'm not up here as one that has not failed. And I still make mistakes, but I learn, by the grace of God, I learn that it's His way or the highway, right? Yeah. It's got to be His way, which is the narrow way, which is the only way that leads to life. Do you want life and peace? Then you've got to say, God, I got to quit being wise in my own mind, my own thinking. I need to change my thinking to conform to what You say, and not try to conform Your word to fit what I think. We can do that. We can approach the study of Scripture from a mentality of, I think this way, I believe this way, and so I'm going to make the word fit what I believe. That is deception. That is also opening a door for greater deception, because where there's that rebellion and an unwillingness to say, Lord, I come to You without any idea, without any clue, and I'm saying, Holy Spirit, You teach me, You show me what the truth is. Rather than, Well, my church believes this way, so when I look at the scriptures, it has to fit the way my church believes. And not all churches are teaching good doctrine. Are you with me?
Right.
And not every voice that's out there, not everyone behind the pulpit is speaking good doctrine either, good truth. Amen? We got to be careful because any of us can be deceived. Any of us can be right in some ways and wrong in others. And if we think because we have the Holy Spirit that we cannot be deceived, we're deceived already. Because there are some people that think they're so spiritual that everything they get, every thought they get is inspired of God. God is our place of security. And you know, whenever the Lord exposes something, it's always for the purpose of deliverance and healing. It's not for condemnation. When the Holy Spirit convicts, it's not to condemn you. It's so that you can be healed. It's so that you can be delivered, so that you can be restored. It's God loving on you when He convicts you of sin. Amen. It's getting quiet in here. Because sometimes it comes across as condemnation, as if God just wants somehow to smoke you, you know? I mean, there are people that stand up in the pulpit and they've got everybody so scared all the time that if I just slip up, I'm going to get smoked. And what they end up doing is, they, in a sense, they put people in a bondage of self-performance and achievement. They try to work themselves into a place of high enough spiritual maturity by their own efforts to somehow merit God's favor now in my life, and God will accept me into heaven. Whenever the Holy Spirit convicts us, it is so that He is because He wants to heal us. If the Lord convicts you of sin, it is because He wants to give you the grace to be free. He doesn't convict you just to make you miserable. Godly sorrow works repentance. Godly sorrow is a good thing. We should be aware when we are out of line with God so that it will cause us to run to Jesus and say, Lord, please forgive me. And receive grace. And you know what He says? He says, I do. The moment you set your heart to come back to me, I was running to greet you. The father left and he ran to greet his son who came back after living his life in the hog pen of life. And he welcomed him. That's the heart of our Father. Psalms 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He didn't say I'm trusting in my ability to trust. He says, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. God is our place of security. God is our rest. People are striving, working. People are condemned. They're self-condemned. And God says, come to me. I'm going to take all that off of you. And I'm going to put my yoke upon you, which is light. Amen? My burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the yoke of the Lord. It's life and peace in the Spirit. But people that are bound up in legalism will think that there's something wrong with you. You can't be that happy. You can't be that free. You can't. But when we are walking in grace, we will walk in love, and love doesn't do anything to cause others to stumble. It may be a liberty that you have, but if it's causing someone else to stumble, it's not appropriate. Hello. And then some other time we'll get into that, maybe more specific. And I heard, this is something I got from Chris when he came, when he said, An ungodly mind will always seek to justify what a godly conscience says is wrong. So we're good at, you know, giving ourselves grace and saying, that's all right. You'll understand. But do you love Jesus is the question. That's what it's all about. Do you love God? When you love God, you do the same things He tells you to do. It's come on, it's come. Yeah. Now, the good news of the gospel is that God didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through Christ might be saved. We know this. And the good news is that Christ has already overcome sin. He's already overcome our enemy. And so we no longer have to be subject to Him or to the sin nature, because we're not under the law, but we're under grace. We've come to Christ. We're under grace. So the good news is that God has already dealt, all right, with our enemy and with the sin problem. And so you and I who walk by faith in Christ can walk in freedom and peace and liberty. Amen? Righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus in the Great Commission, we know this very well. Matthew 28 and verse 18, He says, all authority. So we need to understand all means what? In the original Greek, it means all. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All right. Are we His children today?
Yes.
We're His kids, right? We've received Christ. Christ is in us. We're new creations. Old things have passed away. I'm walking in new life. He has all authority. He has overcome the world. We have the overcomer in us, in Christ. My faith is in Christ, not in myself. Colossians 2:15, it says, talking of Jesus, He has disarmed principalities and powers. These are these spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. These territorial spirits that were once dominating the earth due to the rebellion of Adam and Eve. And when they compromised with Lucifer, He usurped, or He stripped them. He took their authority and became the little g, the little god of this world. So Jesus, the last Adam, came through His own blood. Amen. He crushed the head of the serpent. He's taken back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He's overcome. Hallelujah. We have an intercessor, a great high priest at the right hand of the Father, who is exercising, hallelujah, His authority over all the earth through His church. You and I, representing Him on the earth. He has disarmed these principalities and powers, and He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. In chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, the weapons of our warfare. How many know it's not enough just to know you have a weapon? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So, we've got to know we have weapons first of all. But we have to know how to use our weapons. So I'm going to talk a little bit about weapons this morning, all right? Our weapons. What are our weapons? Number one, the Word of God. We know that. But let me go a step further with that. The spoken Word of God. It's not enough to carry a Bible around and look spiritual. We've got to know what it says. We should be hiding it in our hearts. Amen? So that when the time comes, because you have exercised yourself in the Word, if you will, you've learned how, amen, to use the Word rightly. The Holy Spirit, in the moment that you need it, will bring that Word back to your remembrance, especially in the time of temptation. And in the time of temptation, what we do is follow the example of Jesus. We all know this, but in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "It is written," when he was tempted in the wilderness, "Man shall not live by bread alone." In verse 7, Matthew 4 and verse 7, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Matthew 4 and verse 10, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." The weapons of our warfare are not of human origin. It is the Word of God that is our authority. And when we stand on the Word of God and we speak and decree what God has already said, the Holy Spirit works with the Word. Are you with me? He's always in complete unity. The Godhead is in complete unity. So when we speak the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is there in response. And so when you are tempted, what do? You speak the Word of God. The devil was basically saying, "Perform a miracle for me, Jesus." You know, more than once. Once with turning the stones into bread. Another time, "Cast yourself off. Prove yourself," he said. Now, Jesus could have easily proved who he was, but by doing so, he would have been yielding and listening to the wrong master. And so sometimes the devil will come up to you with something that's not a bad thing, but it's the wrong thing because it's the wrong source. And he'll offer you good things to get you distracted from doing the right things. And so he spoke the word. And he had nothing else to do because the light comes, the darkness has to go. So the devil thought, "Well, I'll try another angle on Jesus here." But folks, if you don't know what God said, hello, then you're going to go around and you're going to receive everything that other people are saying that may not be quite right. And so often we as Christians, we pick up stuff and we go around and we repeat what we hear, but we never really checked it out or taken the time to say, "God, what do you have to say about it?" Sometimes we have to question, if there's confusion in my life, I need to take some time and find out what God has to say about it and get some confirmation. Because we don't want to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine out there. And I'm not up here as one who pretends to have all the truth, because I can be in error too. But how many know that I'm speaking by the Holy Spirit this morning? And the Lord is bringing to my remembrance those things that I need. And He even downloads things that I didn't even know existed. But that's just trusting in the Lord, because we can't do this. And if I give you me, that's all you're going to get. And you're going to leave out of here with nothing, really. But I want to give you something that's going to be eternal. And that is the Word of Christ that is being spoken now unto you by the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you are doing the work here, Lord. And I simply want to cooperate with you. I want to listen to you today, Lord. I don't want to do my own thing. I want to do your thing. The second weapon, one of the other weapons that we have, is the name of Jesus. And I want to take a little time on this morning, because in Mark 16 and 17, remember this, Jesus said these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He said, "In my name, you will do these things if you believe me." Now, that does not mean that we go out and we bring some rattlesnakes in here and start handling snakes. That's not what he's talking about. And some people are that literal about it. And you know, there's a lot of churches there, and they get bit, and some of them die. Well, they just didn't have enough faith. No, that was dumb. That's not what God says. You need to study and find out what God is really saying here. It's really talking about, come on, it's really talking about the authority that God gives us. We remember the rod of Moses as he cast it down. God said to Moses, "What's in your hand, Moses?" "Well, it's a stick, it's a rod. Do something with it, cast it down." Amen? Well, remember, Pharaoh's magicians also said, "Hey, we can do that trick too." And they came and they cast their rods down and they turned into snakes too. However, Moses' rod was the big guns. Amen? Because Jehovah God was backing that up. And he ate up the other snakes. What was he saying? Moses, I'm going to be with you. And you're going in my name and my authority. Because, folks, the name of Jesus is not some kind of spell. Are you with me? People use that name like Jesus, Jesus, like it's some kind of magical spell. What it means is you're going in my place here to represent me. You're representing my authority on the earth.
Amen.
That's right. Because Jesus gave not only his disciples authority while he was here, but he gave the 70 authority also. And then in the Great Commission, he told them to observe everything I taught you. He says, teach the others what I've taught you. What I've demonstrated, what I've modeled, the life that I live, I want you to demonstrate that and pass that on to the generations to follow so that I may continue, amen, through my church to bring in a harvest of souls. And that my house will be filled and the day will come when Jesus shall come. And we will all come before him and he shall be glorified in his saints in that day. And so a name represents the one to whom it belongs. It's Jesus who does the miracles. Now I know there's some people that will disagree with that. I mean, and they're well intended. They say, no, you do the miracles. Well, what you do is you cooperate with the Holy Spirit. But He does the miracle. It is not you. It is not of you. So it's not some kind of magical formula. It's Jesus responding to those whom He has given authority to. You better make sure that you have His authority before you try to exercise authority in His name. Are you with me? And you better make sure that you are submitted to God before you try to resist the devil. If we ask anything according to His will, well, we can generalize the will of God, but folks, Jesus didn't generalize the will of the Father, and He's our example. Jesus was very specifically listened to the voice of God, His Father. Amen? He did what He saw Him do. He spoke what He heard Him speak. And that's why Jesus had the success He did. He wasn't a loose cannon that just went around thinking that everything was God's will because it looked like a good idea. Come on, we can do that, you know. It can even be a good thing, but not the right thing. You've heard me use this example many times, but the man at the pool of Bethesda, there was a lot of impotent people around that pool, a lot of sick people that day. But his instruction was from the Father. He did what the Father told him to do. He didn't raise everybody up that day. There was one man he was assigned to. It's kind of like the man at the gate beautiful with the disciples. Was it Peter and John? They were walking back and forth through there. How many times? We assume Jesus walked through that same gate. But the time came where it was the right time, the season that God had set for that man for a specific purpose to be healed. So that when he was healed, there would be much fruit. There would be an awareness. It would cause a stir. It would mess up the religious crowd. Mess up a lot of people. In Acts chapter 19, we have an example of this. Acts chapter 19 and verse 13. Most of us are familiar with this, but I think it's fitting for us to go back to this. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." In verse 14, also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. So they were casting out demons also, folks. But the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? The man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this is the key, folks, is that we are walking under His authority, representing Him. We need to pray for God to give us revelation, to reveal to us what He's doing, so that we're careful to follow His instructions and not assume that every good idea I have has got to be from God because I thought about it. We can't assume that every good idea that we have is from God because we think about it. There is a liberty that we have, and God does allow us to dream along with Him in certain things, and that's another whole teaching. But we've got to be careful, because when we get outside of what the Father's telling us to do and start just doing good stuff because it's good stuff. These guys here didn't really know Jesus. They were simply trying to use His name as the magic formula. So when we say the name, we're not talking about a charm or some type of incantation with that name. We're talking about the person. So when I say in the name of Jesus, I'm not casting some incantation or spell for good. I'm saying in His authority, we come against sickness, we come against disease, we tell these demons to go. See the difference? And people that don't know Jesus, they may use His name as some kind of charm or incantation. And I wrote this down. When it comes to pulling down strongholds, these places, these ungodly thought systems, okay, in our mind, only those who are under the authority of Jesus can do so. Only those who belong to Christ can invoke His name and cast these things down. Amen? Amen. And once we agree with God, then we start aligning with the Word of God, and our thoughts become aligned with the Word of God, now we can tell those demons that were tormenting our mind to go. Because I am repented, I am going to believe what God said, agree with what God says, and now there's no legal authority for the devil to camp out anymore. And then you say, in the name of Jesus, get out. You're not welcome here anymore. And you say, Lord, come and fill me up. Hallelujah. And I wrote this down too because I want us to hear this. It's important. You cannot cast out the flesh. And you cannot cast out an injury. Sometimes we go off the deep end, folks, with spiritual battle, where everything becomes a spirit. Everything's a demon. I just want to talk about that. And what happens is the enemy starts getting all the glory because now all you can talk about is him. I mean, if you fall down and you break your leg, that's an injury. I've seen people, somebody breaks a leg and they come out and they're casting the demon out of the leg. You got hurt. You just need God's healing oil. Amen. You need the anointing to come. God to touch that leg and heal it. But we can get kind of crazy sometimes about this stuff and get off into some type of tangent, and it's really a distraction from the enemy because he wants the attention. He just says, look at me, hey, no, over here, look what I'm doing. Oh the devil. How about Jesus? Exalt Jesus. Amen. Make Him great in your mind, because He is great, and He's greater than the boogeyman. So we don't fear Him, we fear God. We put our faith in Him who has all power, all authority, who has the name above every name. Jesus, we praise You and thank You for that, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You are with us, that You're in us, and that You're for us. You cannot cast the flesh out. Sometimes people come to an altar call and they expect that, I'm going to be prayed for and my life is going to be perfect now. Come on. I've done it. Maybe you've done it. If I can just get to the altar, I'm going to have a perfect life now. But you can't cast the flesh out. The flesh has to die. The flesh has to come under God's authority. If you yield to your flesh, you're opening a door for a demon at times, yes. That's different. But you can't cast somebody's flesh out. The flesh has to be denied. The flesh has to be starved. The sin nature has to be put to death every day. Are you with me? And one of the fruits of the Spirit and the grace that God gives us is self-control. So you can do it. Quit saying, I'm going to, or I need to, or I should, would have, could have. And say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be done with this thing. God says no, it means no. If He wouldn't tell you to say no to something without giving you the grace to do it. The Holy Spirit doesn't convince you or convict you of something without also giving you the grace to be free from it. So quit making excuses. I can't. I tried. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ. He's the one that strengthens you. He gives you the grace. He gives you the ability. In Revelation 12, in 9, 10, and 11, the great dragon, that's Satan, the serpent of old, called devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Remember, there's a difference between accusation and conviction. Accusation is to condemn. Conviction is so that you might receive the grace to be free. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. Here's, hallelujah, some more of our weapons, folks. The blood that covers, amen, that sanctifies, that protects, and the word of our testimony. Why did God tell Israel to remember the Sabbath? Why did God tell Israel to remember Passover? Why did God set up memorials? And why did they have altars? And why did they set up altars to God and certain places that they had met with God? They were memorials. They were to remember the promises of God. We have to remember what Christ has already done for us. And we declare with our mouth the word of the Lord, saying, God set me free. God has given me victory. Jesus Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. I'm no longer bound by sin. I'm free in Jesus' name. The word of your testimony. I once was lost, but now I'm found. When we sing that, people come in, sometimes condemned, they sing that song, and now they feel, hey, I've shifted away my focus from me and my misery to Him who's the answer. Yes. And I encourage myself in the Lord. And whatever you believe God to be, He'll be for you. If He's your Savior, if you believe Him for your Savior to be your Savior, He'll save you. Are you with me? If you believe that God is your deliverer, He'll deliver you. If you think He can't, then He won't. Why? He only honors faith. But I believe He can, and He will. We have authority in Christ, folks, on the earth, to pull down strongholds. Not only in our lives, but in the lives of others who have a repentant heart. Now think about this. Before we were saved, we were the undisturbed possessions of Satan. Right? I mean, he just had us. But what happens is that God, in His mercy, He Himself waged war against Satan. And He stripped the devil of his armor. I'm going to say it one more time. Before we were saved, we were undisturbed possessions of Satan. But God, in His mercy, waged war on our behalf. The cross was a victory. And He has stripped Satan of his armor. It's already happened. What are you going to believe? That's where the battle is. Whether we're going to believe what God said, or we're going to believe our own heart that cheats on us. Yeah. Are you going to be wise in your own understanding? Well, I know what it says, but I kind of believe this way. You believe that way, I believe this way. Everybody has an opinion. That's great. But opinions are not going to save you. And opinions are not going to get you set free. The Word of God is going to set you free and save you. Amen?
Amen.
We've got to believe what God says. In Luke chapter 11, I want us to take a look at this real quick. When a strong man, Jesus said, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. Luke 11 and verse 22. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Are we gathering with him? Now, listen. What Jesus called armor, Paul called stronghold. Are you with me? What Jesus called armor, Paul called stronghold, called a stronghold. Jesus shows up and Jesus begins destroying the works of the devil. He comes and he points and he says, out you go. We're displacing you. The kingdom of heaven is among you. How many know the kingdom of heaven is among you now? And you and I have to take up our cross and our mantle, amen, as Jesus, and to go in his name and destroy the works of the devil. But we've got to know who we are and believe what God says about us. If our thought life is healthy, so will our spiritual well-being. And Jesus went on to say here, basically, if we boot the devil out of our thought life, if we don't boot the devil out of our thought life, then we're opening a way for greater trouble. In other words, you can have victory over something, but if you decide that I know I shouldn't be thinking about this, but I'm just going to give it a little whirl here. Guys, you see that half-naked lady, sometimes almost full-naked, as we're going through the line, right? Or whatever, something pops up on the computer. We've got to make a decision. Am I going to yield to my flesh nature? Or I'm going to obey the Spirit of God, and I'm going to cast that thing right down and say, nope, changing stations here. Jesus, 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 help me. Hallelujah. Set your mind, set your affection on things above. But if you start to entertain those things, come on, you're not always responsible for an evil thought. How many know the devil will just plant an evil thought? It's not necessarily your thought, it's initially his thought, but then it can become your thoughts because if you start entertaining them, this goes for the ladies too, by the way. Then what happens is you begin to get into sin and you open up a way for the enemy to come in and to establish a stronghold in your mind. And now it becomes your tormenting thing because you allowed that thing, and even though you know you shouldn't, you're having trouble getting free from these things. Sometimes, folks, you actually need to be delivered because of those things. If you can't seem to get free from those, let us pray for you, okay? It may mean that you just need to have somebody lay hands on you or speak to that thing. Amen. If you repented, God will set you free. Amen. If you say, God, I'm going to agree with you, I'm going to do what you say. Now you're in position to be set free. Now Adam and Eve, as we know, in the beginning, they begin to question God's commandment not to eat of the tree of knowledge. And so what did the devil do? The devil suggested they reconsider what God said. Yea, God said, did God really mean that? Reconsider this. What did he do? He planted an arrogant thought. A thought that it was exalting itself against the knowledge of Christ. They knew what God said, but he drops in a suggestion that maybe God didn't really mean it. And the same thing is happening today. There are many people that are listening to that reason. They're listening to that voice, and they're questioning the Word of God even. Yeah, well, maybe it's been tampered on. Maybe it's been watered down. Maybe this, maybe that. Be careful when we start to dissect the Word and to say, this is inspired, this is not. I don't care. I'm going to take this Word for what it says. Amen. I place my eternal destiny on this Word here. Because when I start getting wise in my own ideas and my own understanding, and I start even, as I've had people come up to me before, in fact, I even did it before. I've told you about this. When I wasn't a Christian, and I questioned, I said, oh, that thing's full of contradictions, that book. Has anybody else ever done that? And now I realize it was not the Word was contradicting, it was my understanding that was twisted. Are you with me? Our understanding is twisted apart from the Spirit of God. The only way we can understand truth is by the Holy Spirit. And we don't ever approach the study of Scripture with a bias. That means, well, I don't believe in a hell. So when I do my Bible study, I'm going to either omit or I'm going to kind of take part of a verse here and add another verse to it, and I'm going to make it say what I want it to say, so that I can prove my point that there's no hell. Come on, how many know that's happening? All over, people are doing that kind of stuff. You don't ever come to the Scriptures with your own idea in an attempt to approve your own idea. You come to the Scriptures as an open book and say, Holy Spirit, I don't pretend to know anything here. I'm asking You to teach me and to reveal me what the truth is and deliver me from every deception and every lie, Lord. Keep me from believing anything else except what You have to say here. And He'll do that. It may take a little time of digging in, you know, spend a little time with the Lord in the Word. He'll make it clear to you in time. But it's an arrogant thought when we think that we have a better way than God. And so I'm going to finish here in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Casting down arguments. That word arguments means reasoning or thoughts. And every high thing means an elevated place. An elevated place, an exalted thing. It's an arrogant thought that exalts. That word exalts means raises up against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience. That word obedience means submission. In other words, I need to bring everything under submission to Christ. Because the Word of the Lord is the way of life. If you want life, you're going to have to agree with God. That's it. There's no other way around it, folks. It's that simple. You either agree with God or you don't. You either believe what He says or you don't. But if you don't believe what He says, then you end up setting up idols in your own heart and you make a God that fits yourself. And that's idolatry. And God will have no other gods before Him. And the way of idolatry is really the wide road that leads to destruction. So we've got to come to a place of repentance, saying, God, no longer am I going to trust myself. No longer am I going to agree with my own thoughts. I'm not going to base things upon my own reason. I'm going to align everything to Your Word. And what You say is good. I agree with it. When you agree with the Word of God, you open the way for the Lord to come in and to fill you with Christ. Amen?